Christ is in our midst. This past Thursday night, we heard in the great penitential canon of St. Andrew of Crete, we heard once more that we have defiled our flesh and our soul with lust, inordinate desires, desires of the flesh out of control. One might say that maybe we shouldn't speak of such things in church, but except for the fact that the church speaks of such things in church. As in any service, we take it as the church speaking to us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, instructing us for our good, and yes, speaking to us, the people in here. Not the people out there, not those sinful people, but these sinful people, the Christians, the members of the body of Christ, the faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And we heard in the service such laments as the following. With the lust of passion, I have darkened the beauty of my soul and turned my mind entirely into dust. Into dust. I know, O compassionate Lord, that I have sinned and violated the vessel of my flesh. Violated. I have defiled my body. I have stained my spirit. And I am all covered with wounds. Defiled. I have become mine own idol, utterly defiling my soul with the passions. O compassionate Lord. Run, my soul, run like Lot from the burning of sin. Flee from Sodom and Gomorrah. Flee from the flame of every brutish desire. Woe is me, I have defiled my mind with filth. With filth. We heard in this morning's matins, from my youth, the devil takes me and makes me burn with desire. And then we add all of this to the all these laments to the life of St. Mary of Egypt. St. Mary of Egypt, whom we remember today on the fifth Sunday of Lent, the wild harlot whose love of sexual pleasure knew no bounds, no limits, but then radically changed her life and went out into the desert to give herself to God and became, instead, a vessel of grace, instead of a vessel of sin. She who was called a weapon of sin. It was extremely hard for her to change her life. Even as God was working her transformation for 17 years, as she testified to St. Zosimus. And as we listened to all this, we were driven by prostrations of physical discipline of our flesh. The canon had other things to say, but the passions of lust seem to be a dominant theme, as it is indeed in the first half of the life of St. Mary. So what is the church trying to say to us? That we are like St. Mary, or that St. Mary is like us? Some might protest that they have never remotely lived such a life, and the whole lesson is an exaggeration and irrelevant. If that's the case, then glory to God. Glory to God. Please bear with me while I speak to the rest of us. St. Mary of Egypt, had she lived in our time, might have been an internet sensation. Famous or infamous for her early exploits before she disappeared from public view, she would have been quite the sensation. But St. Mary and those like her in our day are all too easy to be viewed, to be seen. A magazine article caught my eye this week. The title, Arousing Ourselves to Death. Arousing Ourselves to Death. Porn is ravaging our churches. Porn is ravaging our churches, from Touchstone Magazine, Christian Magazine, that one of you had passed on to me from 2011. It is written by a pastor, Russell Moore. He describes an episode where people come to him for marriage counseling because something's not right in their marriage. He uncovers the fact that pornography is the underlying problem hurting the marriage. They skirt around the issues, and he blurts out to them, when did the porn begin? Which shocked them and made them think he was a prophet. As we see in human history, from Sodom and Gomorrah to the life of St. Mary, sinful lust is not new. There's nothing new under the sun. What's new is the delivery and availability of sinful images. Pornea is a Greek word, which means lust. As the article states, but the situation is unique now. Pornography is not now simply available. With the advent of internet technology, with its near universal reach and its promise of secrecy, pornography has been weaponized, like they speak of a virus being weaponized. In some sectors, especially of our young male populations, it is nearly universal. This universality is not, contrary to the propaganda of the pornographers themselves, is not a sign of innocence, of its innocence, but of its power. Like all sin, pornography is by definition a perversion of the good. In this case, the mystery of the male and female together in a one-flesh union. The urge toward this is strong indeed, precisely because our Creator, in manifold wisdom, decided that human creatures would not subdivide like amoeba, but that the male would need the female, and the female the male, for the race to survive. So a natural desire, perverted and now weaponized and handheld. The pastor continues, but before pornography is a legal or cultural or moral issue, it is an ecclesial one. It's an issue of the church. Judgment must, as Scripture tells us, begin with the household of God. 1 Peter 4:17. The man who is sitting viewing pornography while his wife chauffeurs their children to soccer practice might well be a religious, secular, culture warrior, but he is just as likely to be one of our church members. So brothers and sisters, it is a church problem. It is a problem for Christians within the church. What the canon had to say to us and what the life of St. Mary has to say to us are entirely relevant to this generation. The Orthodox Church doesn't just spout off pious slogans. It may seem like that at times, but it also cuts to the chase, it cuts to the core. It tells us about ourselves. It speaks truth to human souls. It lays bare our sins and sinful inclinations towards the goal of repentance and healing. In the canon again, we heard, your free dignity, O my soul, you have subjected to your body. The whole Lenten program, the ascetic life and discipline of the church with its worship, prayer, fasting, and prostrations, is to subject the body to the soul. One of the revealing episodes in the life of St. Mary, as Father Ignatius touched on last night, is the boat pilgrimage. These pilgrims are gathering to take a boat from probably near Alexandria, Egypt, at the mouth of the Nile River there, and to go up the coast of Palestine in September for the Feast of the Elevation of the Precious Cross in Jerusalem. And this is in the early 500s, the early 6th century, when the church still had the full wood of the cross in its entirety. I think a barbarian invasion in the next century led to the cross being taken, eventually returned, but then I think it was lost again when the Muslims invaded. And after that, it seems there's only a record of pieces of the cross here and there, of the true cross. But in any event, Mary decides to tag along for the ride. When told she'll need money for the boat trip, she cynically and accurately responds, "I have a body. That will suffice. That's all I need. They'll take me on." She had no doubt for a moment that Christian young men, even on a holy pilgrimage, with holy intentions, could easily be corrupted and seduced. And so knew the devil who inspired her shamelessness. The same one at work to corrupt and ruin a generation of men today. And today it's all about the body, a body-dominated culture. Even regular internet sites almost everyone comes with an invitation to look at this body and this actress and wearing this dress after losing weight and this and that. Instead, everything the church calls us to regain our dignity, to reacquire our God-given, elevated identity in God, is to reestablish the power of the soul and to suppress and discipline the flesh, the body, keep the right order of things, as for beings made in the image and likeness of God. So, for example, in well-run monasteries, young people in the monasteries are covered up, their bodies are covered up, and they're kept busy working with their prayer rules and work around the monastery. And they especially like to get young virgin men and women because there's special power in virginity. There's a spiritual power. Some of the very greatest saints were virgins. Which is why the world and the devil want you to lose it as soon as possible. Which is why the world and the devil want you to lose your virginity as soon as possible to corrupt and to weaken our natural spiritual gifts. And Orthodoxy actually has a more positive and healthy view of sexuality than does the Roman Church, which is why Orthodox priests can be married. It's something we talk about in the Inquirer's class. It has to do with a different view of original sin. But the Church has always known our desires are strong and have to be disciplined and directed to marriage or monasticism. As Father Schmemann used to point out, that even though we're now under grace, sexuality is still under law. It still has to be do's and don'ts and barriers set up. The pornographic tendency is desire for its own sake. That desire for its own sake that leads to spiritual deadening and death. And it is addictive and enslaving and leads to hell. Hell, someone said, is truth glimpsed too late. Truth glimpsed too late. That you get to hell, you realize that there's others there with your desires, but you no longer have a body, so you can't do what you used to do, and you're frustrated. And there was a whole other life awaiting you on the other side that you missed out on. Let us not be, brothers and sisters, aroused to death. And it requires a very deep and profound and determined will to change. A will to change, to a determined repentance. If pornography is now a familiar friend, even a family friend, it has to become a hated enemy. You have to hate it. You have to hate it for the sake of Christ. You have to learn from St. Mary of Egypt. This is why we are given this lesson. If she can change, any of us can change. Finally, as we sing about her, our Holy Mother Mary, the power of the cross did wonders for her who was a harlot. She cast off the weakness of nature and bravely contended with Satan. Then, having the prize of victory, she intercedes for our souls. Through the prayers of our Holy Mother Mary of Egypt, may our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us in the fast and prepare us for holy days ahead, and have mercy upon us and save us. Amen.